Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Michael Kay Show.
If they lose this series, yesterday's game will go down as one of the low points in the history of the New York Knicks.
It sure will. And maybe it's something that we'll look back at and say it was a good thing, because maybe it'll galvanize them even more that it happened at a time where there was a margin for error, so it won't happen, you know, in a possible elimination game where they can't get up from it. I think any team that's going to make a run has to face some sort of adversity, and maybe this will end up being a good thing. And I do still think they're going to win this series, Michael. I do. But I do think it does affect them if they go from we could have finished this up in five to now we got to play a game seven. You had your foot on their throat and you just don't want to have it slide off and then not be able to get it back on there again.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I am here to lift you up. I'm not a glass half empty guy, except when it comes to me personally. I'm a glass half full guy. The Sixers have to win three in a row against a Knicks team that won 50 games this year. I don't think they're going to do it. Was the loss yesterday disconcerting? Yep. Did they do everything wrong to lose? Yep. Could you say they choked? Yep. Are they going to lose the series? Nope. They're not. Show me the Sixer team that's going to win Game 6 and Game 7. I don't see it. They had to pull one out of their backside to win Game 5. The Knicks pulled one out of their backside to win Game 2. Okay, we're even with pulling it out of our backside. Now let's see what happens. So you could feel down, but I think the Knicks are professional enough and they've had enough adversity this season that they're not going to let that game define them. Because if they lose this series, Don and Peter, then the game defines them. And it ruins the whole season. All the feel-good vibes of the season gone if they lose the series. I don't think they will.
I don't think so either. Because, again, you got to lose two more. But can the Sixers win tomorrow? Yeah, I think they can win tomorrow. And then you get a game seven, Michael, and as I'm confident that they would be able to win, Peter picked them in seven, so he should be confident as well. We picked them in six, so I'm not going to let one meltdown in a 30-second span completely reverse how I feel about this team, but you have to at least acknowledge the fact that now it's a little sweaty. It should be over. We should be sitting back with our feet up, watching the Pacers and the Bucks maybe play two more games, all working to the Knicks' advantage. And now there's a scenario in which the Pacers could actually wrap it up before the Knicks and be waiting for this series to be over. And you don't want to have to deal with that. Now, do I think they can win the next series regardless? Of course I do. But you didn't have to go through this. So that's a pain. Well, maybe it's not heartbreaking, but I'm sure there's a lot of Knicks fans that lost sleep last night. Instead of celebrating a series win and relaxing and waiting for Pacers Bucks, now you got to sweat out a road game tomorrow in Philly. Shouldn't have been that.
Mets won yesterday, even up their series with the Cubs. Yankees lost their second straight where their offenses just disappeared. And they hit in to a major league leading 34 double plays. Judge hit into another double play, major league leading 10th. Seven of them are inning enders. So they score 15 on Saturday, 15 on Sunday. Then they get shut out Monday. They scored two yesterday, and they've lost two in a row. The Orioles are really good. They're young, they're athletic, and their pitching is better than it's projected to be. So right now, it's neck and neck on top of the AL East. Now the Orioles send their best pitcher out to the mound tonight, Corbin Burns against the Yankees. And the Yankees are, again, without a very important bat. Alex Verdugo is going to miss his third straight game because he's out with paternity leave. And that's a big bat because you're replacing a guy who's batting fourth on Saturday and Sunday with Trent Grisham, who's not a great hitter. Great fielder, not a great hitter. I want to just relay a little pettiness, guys.
Yes.
Monday's game. Oswaldo Cabrera with a runner on base hits one deep to the Great Wall of Baltimore. Okay. So they moved that wall way back 2 years ago. It used to be a bandbox to left field. And the ball is caught on the warning track. And I said, 3 years ago, the game is tied. Not knocking the wall, because I said it yesterday about a ball that McCann hit. I said it's 2-1. 3 years ago, it would have been 3-1. So it was a double rather than a home run. The Orioles got the ball, and they put it into their memorabilia store in the stadium with my quote on it. 3 years ago, it would have been a tie game. Stay classy, Baltimore. Act like you know how to win. I mean, you've got championships
well,
in your history.
They don't know. That's not fair.
But why can't you have fun?
It's so
no,
long.
No. But at my expense, how dare you?
What?
Here we go.
It's great promotion for you.
No, I don't. I'm just kidding. But people are so sensitive. You remember the guy who called yesterday? Don said the same thing.
Yeah.
Stay classy, he said. Stay classy, or I'll throw it right back at you. Stay classy. I'm going to go buy the ball. It's $50. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shred it. I'll buy the ball for $50.
You should.
And then I'll, you know what I'll do? I'll buy it for $50. I'll sign it, and then I'll sell it for $100.
Wow! See,
look
that's
at you.
That's the swinging that I've been trying to tell you to do. For
yeah,
years.
Do it.
Unbelievable.
But people care what you have to say. You should be very proud.
All right.
Listen, but Baltimore's getting the last laugh here.
No, they're
really
taking
good. Over first place now.
They're really good. So if you want to, you know, completely obliterate four seasons of your history to get high draft picks, I guess you can do the same thing.
See where you started, Baltimore? It's always humid there, and it's not that cool a place. So relax.
I like
yourself.
Baltimore, but I'm going to tell you one
not
thing:
not like the era that
you
by
cannot
the Baltimore.
You cannot get an Uber here. It's unbelievable.
Really? What happened?
Really?
David Cohn, Joe Girardi, and I. We tried to get an Uber on Monday. Every time I put up 20-minute wait. And we walked to the hotel. It was about a half-hour walk. Yesterday, Joe Girardi said, no way, I'm not doing it again. David Cohn and I tried. Again, couldn't get an
really?
Uber. And
really?
We were sopping wet because it's so humid. We've got jackets and ties on. I don't know if we're going to try it again.
You know what I forgot to tell you, Mike? Because you weren't on the day this happened.
What happened?
That they used me in their hype video to start the season.
The Orioles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I vaguely remember. I saw it on social media. What'd you say?
I just said that they've got the target on their back now.
They're the team.
They can't
team.
Surprise anybody. So it'll
Look
be interesting
that.
To see how they handle that.
They're yeah, monitoring
so,
this show,
so they are listening to this show. So I like Baltimore, too.
No, it's a great town.
It's not D.C. That's where the inferiority complex, I think, comes in. Right? But Boston feels it, Philadelphia. It's just because you're not... You're not the city that's the closest to you, right?
There would be some that could argue that Baltimore could be better than D.C.
In what sense?
D.C.'s pretty, you know,
I gotta
pretty
tell you,
rough, too. There's,
I got,
it's,
I
it's
got
about
completely...
what the, it's not about every city. I mean, every city has spots that are rough.
Of course.
It's about what does the city offer.
I got to tell you, I got caught up. I rented a scooter Sunday after the morning skate. And I just trolled around D.C. for like 2 hours.
Really?
Having the time of my, it was like I was 12 again.
Wait, was it like just a bike scooter or like an actual scooter?
No, but it was motorized. You know, had the battery, but you like a scooter.
Probably
where you
Secret
put your 2 feet in.
All over you.
Flying around. I was flying around like when Kramer had the girl's bike in Seinfeld. No, I was having a ball. Like it was like a 56-year-old man, but it was gorgeous. It was 85. And I tell you, just aesthetically pleasing the city, Peter. And restaurants to die for.
There's a lot in D.C. Now, I don't know it as well as I once did, so I'm sure it's got even more going on there than when I was there. I know it does.
I went to Founding Farmers on Saturday night. Very good restaurant.
They love Founding Farmers. Very
is that good?
Popular. Yeah. Founding Farmers.
Is that a chain? Or is that...
No. I think maybe... I think there's only one.
So,
but it's loved. No.
Listen, I...
No, there's one out in the suburbs,
I dig Baltimore. I've gone to Raven games, and I've gone to a ton of Oriole games. But it's not D.C. It's not Annapolis.
No, I never.
I mean,
not Annapolis.
No.
What do you mean it's not Annapolis?
It's not. I enjoy Annapolis.
More than Baltimore?
Yes.
Well, Baltimore has more going on than Annapolis, though.
You think so?
I know so.
Well, yeah, I'm entitled to my opinion. But the fact that they listen, I think, is terrific. Go O's, as I say, every time they play the Yankees.
Did you?
Whoa, really?
Well, I'm no Yankee fan. What am I supposed to start rooting for the Yankees?
Wow. Are you an Oriole fan?
No. When they play the Yankees.
What a jerk.
What am I supposed to do, Michael?
Just keep your mouth shut.
Why? You rip the Mets every chance you can.
I do not.
You stomp
I
on their grave
not.
When
I'm
you can.
I'm a personal friend of their manager. Why would I rip them?
It's okay.
Two straight managers they've had, personal friends.
Right, and yet you still troll them.
I don't troll them
Anthony?
At all. Anthony, do I troll them?
You didn't want to ask me, huh?
Well, no, it was those subtle jabs during the season that we've had when they've been afternoon games where there's been a little... How did you describe it, Peter?
They were on their way to going 0-6. Getting no hit. Michael was in his glory when we were down in Philadelphia a few weeks ago.
Can I call one of my 20s?
Sure.
Their sainted play-by-play guy said that was rock bottom.
I know, but he... But
are
he
you going to rip me?
But he was upset when he said it.
How do you know what he was?
I could hear the tone. But Peter, was he not enjoying himself with the Yankees being 6-1 and the Mets 0-6?
It only adds insult
to
injury.
Hey, you do you, I'll do me. I've never...
You've done that plenty.
I have told you I respect the Yankees. I respect, yes, and I love Aaron Boone. But I'm not a Mets fan. I'm not a Yankee fan. So when they play the Orioles,
Keep that clip, please.
I would like to see the Orioles do well when they play the Yankees. Is that surprising? I'm sure every Yankee fan out there is probably either not paying attention to the Mets or rooting for the Cubs today. Well, I would expect that, right? That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Didn't we always talk about territoriality? Didn't we always talk about frauds if you root for both teams?
Yeah, he's open about the fact that he's got no interest.
Just telling you. But he's not going to go out of my way to root for the Orioles. I'm not going to wear a hat or anything. And I respect the Yankees too much for that. And I love and I love Boone. But I'm not disappointed. I wasn't disappointed yesterday. Good for them.
Good for them.
When Judge struck out, I was like, oh, look at that.
What?
I wish like Molly Walker took a picture of you on a scooter. I mean, that could go viral.
Oh, it is a great point.
Nobody took a picture
of you scooting around town?
Did you drive past the White House?
It was in the distance. I don't know what the mall is, Peter. There's like a big circular kind of park and you can see the White House from the distance. It's right
DuPont
next
Circle?
To the... It's right
near the arena?
Not that close to the arena. I'm trying to think
so
of...
So it wasn't DuPont Circle?
What's... Not the Lincoln Memorial. It's the...
Jefferson Mall?
Jefferson Memorial?
No.
Washington Monument?
Yes. Right by the Washington Monument.
Okay. Couldn't come up with Washington
Monument. Well, so what?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one to not come up with.
Mangy, Michael. Mangy. Sometimes you're at a loss.
Mangy. All right, let's talk Knickerbocker, shall we?
Yeah, wow. He could... The Washington Monument.
Yeah, listen.
I was by a lot of monuments. I was flying around.
It's not like you were in a cemetery. The Washington Monument is pretty well known.
It's out there.
So I that's
drove
where
past
I was.
This lady in the harbor. I don't know her name.
That's not the same thing. Because the Statue of Liberty is surrounded by a bunch of monuments.
That's a great point.
Damn it! Well, have you ever been to D.C., Michael?
The Lincoln Memorial has Lincoln sitting on a concrete... chair.
And I said, not the Lincoln Memorial. I was kind of going through the different things that I saw.
Let's go to Corey in New Jersey. Corey.
Hey.
Hey.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we here.
Cool. I'm sorry. I was calling because, is this ESPN Radio New York or Philadelphia?
No, sorry, we're not that station,
but Corey. No, but Corey, what are you even referring to? What happened? What do we even say?
Don, you're great. You're great. It's just everybody else up there just seemed like they killing my Knicks. You know what I mean? I'm like, the Knicks lost that game more than Philly won that game.
And that's
more.
What we said.
But everyone, I'm the one who said, though, you may feel that way, Corey. And that's true. A lot of mistakes. You got to give a lot of credit to Maxey. I'm sorry.
No, I definitely do. I 100% give him credit, but he didn't even do enough to win that game yesterday. If the Knicks would have did what they had to do yesterday with the free throws alone.
But I think we all agree that the Knicks lost that game more than the Sixers won. I mean, Maxey was tremendous, but listen, that three-pointer shouldn't have ever meant anything. That four-point play shouldn't have ever happened. They shouldn't have been in a position to win that game. Give him credit for taking advantage of it, but the Knicks handed it to him on a platter. We've been saying that for the last hour and a half.
Can I say something, please?
Do it, please.
Come closer to the speaker, everybody.
I'm right against it.
I will fight to the death before I let this show become a bunch of fanboys. And you know what? They have that in Philly at their stations, and we have that in New York at another station where, yay, pom-poms, all that. We're not that. We'll never be that. We're just not.
But
oh, even, is this ESPN New York or ESPN Philly? It's ESPN New York.
But even though we're not that, Michael, we never said any of the things he claims we said. We all said the Knicks gave it away. We all agree the Knicks are still going to win this series. I don't know what he's listening. I don't get it.
I think he was listening to Peter. Because we said the Knicks choked it away. That's the quote. So we didn't give Philly any credit. We said the Knicks choked it away. What more do you want? Want me to wear, like, blue and orange underwear? I'll do that. I'll show tomorrow. People are so parochial. New Yorkers are supposed to be so hip and so sophisticated, and it's such BS. Bing, bong, all that. Stop! The same as Wichita. Same thing. We're all the same. Just like you drive down any main thoroughfare in any single place, and it's the same fast food places, and it's the same people all over. We're not that sophisticated. We're not.
I can't believe, though, that what he heard through what we talked about was it being, oh, we're giving the Sixers too much credit. All I said was, when Don said the Knicks blew it, I said, well, hold on. They did, but Maxey had an unbelievable performance that can't be ignored. That's all I'm saying. The guy had a four-point play and a logo three within 30 seconds. That's all. Is that fair, Michael?
It's very fair. Let's go to Steven in Connecticut. Steven. Steven.
Steven. It's an Alice Cooper song, so we can play that instead.
What's wrong with people?
Today or every day?
Michael,
well, let's start with today.
I don't know. I'll pick a good one.
I think this loss was so devastating that phones no longer function, brains no longer function.
Try Ryan, Michael.
Ryan and Port Jeff.
Hi, Ry.
Hey, what's going on, boys? How you doing?
Yo, yo.
So two quick points on the Knicks, but if you allow me, I was the guy that called in from the delivery room a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Had a quick story to tell. Everyone's doing great. Twins are great. But I took my daughter to her first pediatrician appointment. I'm wearing the lovely Michael K. Show 20th anniversary party sweatshirt that I had.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know how they take the temperature, but it's exactly the way you wouldn't want them to. And when they pull it out, chocolate sauce syrup all over the sweatshirt.
It does happen. No, you got to be careful. No, but no. It's wonderful. It's your kid.
Yeah. Ruined it, but if there's any way to get a new one, I'd love to find out. Oh, but either way,
but real quick, just for
but
your,
you know what?
Just for your daughter,
soft serve, it
chocolate
washes out.
Soft serve in your pants,
on a shirt's a completely different experience. go ahead. I'm sorry.
About the Knicks, two things. So one, I think you know Robinson's obviously catching a lot of heat for the foul on the four-point play, but if you look at a video that's circulating, you could see Maxey took like a third step.
I've seen the stop it. Stop. Come on, you did the NBA. They it's like they're walking a dog half. You're telling me honestly that in that moment they're going to call a travel. In this league, with the way that they travel on a constant basis, you really think, I'm seeing the videos now, Michael. It's all over social media. Knick fans got to stop. You really think they were going to call a travel there, Michael? Really?
Ryan, this is a league that allows the Euro step, which essentially is five steps to the basket. He slid his pivot foot slightly, and you are all complaining that it was a walk. Stop it.
See, this is where sometimes we think we're so sophisticated in New York.
We're not.
That we're no different than everybody else.
We're just like Nebraska. We could be talking about the Cornhuskers right now. It's the same thing.
Pat O'Keefe just texted me. You know Michelle Gingras from MSG?
Yeah.
That apparently she does have video on her social media of me on the scooter.
Oh.
But she didn't at me.
I knew I saw it somewhere.
So I gotta find that and I'll retweet it. That's cool. And you can tell me whether I look like a nerd or not. And I don't care if I did.
I know you did.
But you know what? I don't care. I was having a ball. It was a beautiful day in D.C. What am I supposed to do? Sit in a hotel?
No one's against it. We just think it'd be funny to see.
Well, he's really
No, he said I look like he's like, no, I know you look like a nerd.
You did.
But you wouldn't be able to do it. You fall on your in your face.
You don't think I could ride a scooter?
No.
Okay. You
know, as a matter of fact, you know what?
Soft serve in your pants.
You're collateral damage in this, Peter, and I will defend you tomorrow.
Thank you.
But one of the things Kimball will do during kickboxing, it's like, right, Don, you do it, Don. Michael and Peter can't do that.
Wow.
And I'm like, you're damn right. You couldn't
do
that.
Oh, my God.
So you would fall flat. I think, you know what? I'm not even, I would put it this way. I think it's 50-50 you survive.
Here we go.
Michael, I don't feel good. I don't feel great about you on a scooter, I'm being honest.
Why?
Don, where can I find the
picture? I ride the kids' scooters all the time.
You do?
Yeah. First of all, here's one thing. Peter, this is for you, so you file this away. Don ever comes to me to get Yankee tickets for Kimbo, out.
Kimball.
Kimbo. Whatever. Yeah. See, that's
he's not Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
I mean, he's tough, but he ain't Kimbo.
Well, he's just lost Yankee tickets.
Wow.
I see Dave on a scooter. I don't see myself on a scooter. What's going on here?
There's
Wait,
a picture
Maloney
of you
was on
our
a scooter too?
Oh, Instagram now.
I sent both now. But I think the video is Dave. I think there's a picture of you and Dave on a scooter. That's the one I saw. That's what I remember.
And you sent that out?
I sent it to you guys.
Oh, okay. I'll send it out. So there's a picture, no video, Michael. I'm sorry. But I bet you I look cool.
Why was Gingras, stalking you like that?
No, because Dave's got a little bit of a sore ankle. So we're coming back from this morning skate, and he got on the scooter to go back to the hotel. And I was going to walk, but I'm like, you know, I don't want to try it. It's a nice day. So everybody else was walking back, Sam, Joe, Michelle. And so she took a picture.
I got to tell you, I just looked at it. You look pretty cool on it.
Thank you. What do you think, Peter? We'll send it out. Do I look cool or a nerd?
No,
you look fine.
Nerd.
You look fine. Can I say fine? You
look
fine.
But listen, I'm not looking. I'm trying to be like
both of
you Fonzie.
Both of you look comfortable.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable now.
Now I'm checking out the rest of the post. See what is going on here.
She looks like she ate very well at the two games. Some high end food.
So now we're trolling Michelle's Instagram is what we're doing.
Just look, it's a 10 picture post. That's I had to go through all of them.
I know, but just be careful because what you do.
I blame myself.
Don't go back a few months and like one of the pictures. It doesn't come off very well.
No, she doesn't follow you on the gram, by the way, Don.
That's all right.
Should we be offended?
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this man has seen many of the big moments, many of the big collapses that the Knicks have had. So it's going to be interesting to get Mike Lupica of the Daily News, his take on what happened at the Garden last night, and we welcome in our friend Mike Lupica. Mike, how you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. I have to start off by telling you this. Michael, I just got off the phone with Spike Lee because I needed to know if he was having PTSD after what Maxie did last night that evoked what Reggie did to him and all of us back in 95. And it turns out he wasn't there last night. He was shooting a movie with Denzel in the Bronx. So as soon as he heard me on the phone, he said, "They can't blame this one on me, Michael." He was... he was listening on the radio, and guys, listen, it was, let me start by saying this. This is great. This is a great playoff series out of the past. This is the Knicks against Reggie in the old days. This is them against Michael in the old days. This is them against Riley and the Heat and Alonzo and all that stuff in the old days. However this comes out now, and listen, this team has become so appealing. We want them to win. This is a great playoff series out of the past that's better than anything going on in the NBA right now.
It's a great point. It is hands down the most exciting series going. And that's interesting. A friend of mine saw Denzel on the subway the other day. So now we understand it. Shooting a movie in the Bronx with Spike. Now, okay, just from a straight strategy standpoint, Mike, did you think that the Knicks should foul after the missed free throw, up three, Maxie gets the ball, they inbound. Are you thinking Tibbs is going to foul right there?
They have to foul. I mean, the short answer is yeah, and the longer answer is an adjective before yes. Of course they have to foul, because there is a much better chance than Tyrese Maxie on the night he's having is going to make that shot, even from the logo, than there is that they foul him, that he misses on purpose, that he makes two, there's a much better chance that he's going to make the shot that he made. Now, I don't know what's come out of practice today or anything like that, but Tibbs has to tell Deuce McBride that he's fouling him before the shot comes in. Because you see McBride runs around the pick, but he has plenty of time to foul. It drives me insane when coaches don't foul in that situation, because they think the worst case scenario is a missed free throw on purpose and they get the offensive rebound and they make the shot. No, no. How many times do you see that happen? It hardly ever happens.
Well, the bothersome thing is he wanted to foul, but the communication broke down.
Well, I think the communication starts in the huddle, and you basically say, okay, if Hart makes one, you do this. If he makes both, you do this. If he misses both, you do this. And you can't let him tie the game. And what you know, it's the old line from Semi-Tough. What could have happened did, okay? And what we saw last night was one of the great season-saving performances I can ever remember in the playoffs. It was like it happened at the end of a Game 7, because it was a Game 7 for the Sixers. That kid was unbelievable. And, you know, the Mitchell Robinson thing, people are jumping all over him. That so often happens when a big guy comes out and tries to guard a little guy. He's clumsy, and that happened. But this idea that the Knicks gave it away, well, kind of, but Maxie took it from them. He has been, for so much of this series, I know this sounds blasphemous right now in New York City, he's been as great for his team as Brunson has been for the Knicks. And the thing about Maxie is he's got another guy. And right now, Jalen Brunson is out there, and it looks like the end of the – it looks exactly like the end of the Heat series last year when it was Brunson against the world.
And we were talking about that earlier, Mike, where, you know, Brunson looks like he's taking every shot. And my comeback to that is he has to, because the other guys are hit or miss. This is where they miss Julius Randle. People have underestimated how important Julius Randle is. He is that other great scorer. The Knicks don't have that now. DiVincenzo could go 3-for-17 on a game, so you can't depend on him. Same thing with Hart. They don't have that other legitimate scorer, so he's going to take every shot.
I have no problem with him taking every shot. Michael, you're 100% right. Here's the thing. And I know he made a bad decision with Hartenstein there at the end, but he was only going to throw it to Hartenstein so Hartenstein could throw it back to him so he could get a better shot. People are expecting DiVincenzo and Josh Hart, as admirable as they have been, to be something other than they are most of the time. Hart was great in the first two games. And I think, what were they last night? I don't have the sheet in front of me. 2 for 13 from threes? I mean, yep. The three disparity killed them last night. And you know what? You can put me down as somebody who started to think, well, maybe, you know, the way Brunson has flourished, maybe they are better off without Julius. No, wrong. I was dead wrong about that. They need somebody else. And I don't know who that's going to be on Thursday night at the stupid starting time of 9 o'clock. I don't know whether McBride can step back up or one of those two Villanova guys has to remember how to shoot the ball. Or guess what? They're going to lose again on Thursday night.
It's one of the things that, tell me how you feel about this, Mike. One of the things that I don't like about Tibbs, and there are so many things to like, I don't like the fact that he can't use everyone. Like, he only knows how to use the guys that he likes. There's no creating off your bench to find a spark from a source. Like, other teams may be able to find someone. You'll see Miami do that, right? Spoelstra in the playoffs goes and uses someone that none of us have ever heard of, and he's killing you. That's not something Tibbs is going to do.
No, but I think last night, I mean, I know that the Sixers played eight guys last night, but I think the eighth guy hardly played at all. So they basically had the same rotation that the Knicks had last night. What happened last night to me was, well, a couple of things. Maxey had a career night, like a crazy, he's that good. You know, remember, at the start of the year, you could have a fair debate about whether you'd rather have Maxey or Brunson. And then Brunson has the season he's having. And now here comes Maxey again to remind everybody just how talented he is. But I know how much the Garden hates Embiid, okay? And those were cheap shots. And all of that happened, okay? And he became the biggest villain they've had there probably since Reggie. But he reminded you last night, even on one leg. I mean, he's had a game in this series where he scored 50 on one leg. And last night, even though I remember they took him out in the fourth quarter for a while, he looked completely gassed, and he still ends up with a triple-double. He still makes that three-point play on the short jumper. He set the pick for Maxey on the shot that tied the game. He's reminding everybody that he might be a pain, but he's a great, great player who, at his best, has looked like the best player in the whole league.
By the way, Mike, that pick that he set was much worse than the pick on the Connecticut women's team that ended their season. Much worse.
Yeah, I know. That was... I think they're still talking about that one. But, Michael, what Maxey did was like this weird karmic payback for what happened in game two. But on top of that, you had a bad feeling as soon as Maxey made the four-pointer, thinking a four-point play in the playoffs, in the Garden, going against the Knicks.
I know.
That can't be a good thing. And then, you know, people forget, by the way, about Reggie in game one in 95. Those 8 points came in 8.9 seconds. It happened in the blink of an eye. And remember something about that series. The Knicks got into the hole in that series. And even though they fought back to win game six in Indiana, Michael, I think were you there? Were you doing those games then or not?
I was there as a fan when Johnson hit the four-point shot, but that was a different time.
And no, Reggie, the Knicks, once they lost game one in 95, they kind of never recovered. They shocked the world by going into Indiana and winning game six, and then game seven, of course, in 95. Patrick misses the finger roll at the end.
Yeah.
At the end of that season,
after
at the
another
end
guarantee.
Of Pat Riley. So it became a rather apocalyptic series. And now here comes this series. And really, when was the last time? I mean, the Knicks fans couldn't really build up a lot of hate for the modern incarnation of the Miami Heat, okay? When was the last time an opponent got the Knicks fans this worked up? It really was the old Pacers, 25 years ago when Johnson was making the four-point play in game three of that series. It's Listen, nobody's having any fun being a New York Knicks fan today. They're scared to death. My son Christopher just told me the Sixers, what they bought, 2,000 tickets.
Yep.
Is that true?
Yeah.
They did,
yeah.
Right?
Michael Rubin and the
2,000, I think.
2,000 tickets, yeah.
Well, no Nick fan wants to hear that this is fun today. I wanted to do a quick welfare check on Ben Stiller and John Stewart. Didn't you guys? I mean, I just wanted to reach out and just let them know that, well, a couple of things. One is, you're not part of the story, boys. And two, I just wanted to make sure they were doing okay today.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because you've covered a lot of championship teams in this city. Have you ever seen a fan base more cocky about a team that's done nothing yet? I mean, the arrogance, the cockiness, it's unbelievable.
Michael, I was trying to remember, you know, as the game wore down to the end and it looked like they were going to close them out, I was thinking, you know, should they just go straight down Broadway to the Canyon of Heroes, or, you know, should they get the floats on the West Side Highway and just because of traffic and get down there faster? Yeah, no, I mean, and Patrick's there and Starks is there. No, they're getting ahead of themselves. I mean, put me down as one of those people who, you know, we want Boston. Wait a minute. You haven't been past the second round since 2000, okay? Since you limped into the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pacers. So everybody has a right to be excited. I mean, and I'll ask you guys this, okay? What would be, you probably have had this conversation, what would be the next biggest title in New York City? Would it be the Yankees winning a World Series for the first time since 2009? Would it be the Knicks winning? Would it be the Jets winning for the first time in a half a century? I think it might be the Knicks.
I think it's between the Jets and the Knicks just because of the longevity of it. But I think this is
more
of a Knicks town than a Jet town. I mean, because you've got the Giants there, right? So, and you've got so many football fans of teams outside the market. But if you're a basketball fan, 90%, I would think, of the basketball fans in this town are Knicks fans. So I really, and it's been 51 years, Mike, I think it would be the Knicks.
And Michael, you know, you guys might remember this, maybe you don't, but when the Yankees looked like they were going back to the World Series in 2017, okay, and they went back to Houston up 3-2, and we know what happened. They scored one run, blah, 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 blah. But walking out of the stadium that day after Game 5, and I was just with the crush of Yankee fans because I didn't have to write until later. And during that time, I started, you know, I tied it to Springsteen, but I talked about the rising that was going on with Yankee fans because it felt like a rising because they were ahead of schedule, okay? And you could feel all the old Yankee stuff rearing up again, even though it was on the other side of 161st Street, okay? This has been a rising with Knicks fans. This team has been better than they thought it was going to be. It's been tougher than they thought it was going to be. It's had to overcome. So it's an extremely appealing team, okay? And that's why if they blow this thing now, after being 96-90, under 30 seconds to go last night, this will go down as, you know, it's not going to be 2004 for the Yankees. And by the way, Mike, is it too soon to talk? It's too soon still, right, to talk
it's
about
a little,
that.
But we actually did. This would be Dave Roberts. This game will be Dave Roberts if they lose.
If they lose this series after the way the Garden has been for these last two games, and again, people who were there for Game 2 tell me that they really felt the comeback in that one was as loud as veterans had heard it since Larry Johnson made the 4. And I have to tell you, of all the great nights and all the great days I ever had covering the Knicks, and Michael, we've talked about this a lot. We didn't know how good we had it in the 1990s, whether they won a title or not. Those were glory days of minus a title. And so, you know, all that stuff was true. The Yankees didn't, even great Yankee teams, didn't really start until the Knicks played their last game.
Yep.
Okay. But all those events, the loudest I ever heard it was the night Larry Johnson made that shot. And Christopher, my oldest, was there that night, and it's as great a sports memory as he's ever had. So all of that, you know, all of those memories have come back, okay, over the last week or so, and that's why, oh my goodness, they cannot not win this series now.
No, you think they're okay?
Too soon. Too soon.
Do I think they're okay? No, I don't think they're okay. No, I don't. I listen, if they went down there and win on Thursday night, they would not surprise me. They have, you know, it's the old Tyson line. Everybody's got to play until they get hit. Okay, they got hit again. They've been hit again. Okay, Embiid hit them with a 50-point game. They came back from that. This is a little more to come back from. This is you know, it's a lot that happened to them in regulation and in the overtime last night. So can they surprise us? They wouldn't be a huge surprise if they've won in Philly already. But now, again, it's how they pick themselves back up. It'll be a very interesting first quarter, I think, on Thursday night.
Mike, great stuff as always. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of the series.
It's again, if you love sports in the city, even though you're a little down today, this is big fun. This is big fun. Thank you, guys.
You got it.
Later, Mike.
The great Mike Lupica from the Daily News, writes for so many other places, writes books, the whole deal. You know his story.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! Playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, easily the most anticipated sporting event of the year, the pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer, Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks as she sets the stage. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the pickleball showdown for the ages. Be there on May 5th to witness this showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Peter, I'm going to let you decide. Do we give Blanderson Hooper another chance?
Of course we do. This is a guy who deserves it.
All right, Blanderson.
What's going on, guys? Sorry about
before.
How
are you?
I'm good. I'm not trying to cause any arguments or anything today. No arguments.
And just remember who defended you and was upset that you were hung up on. Remember that.
I know.
All right.
So about the Knicks, obviously devastating loss. I still think they're going to come through, but two points. One, and you've covered this, but DiVincenzo has completely disappeared. He was a huge part of the team down the stretch, and he's done nothing. Other than that big shot in game two, nothing. And then the other thing is, at what point, I mean, nobody expected Bogdanovich to roll his ankle and be out for the season, but we can't keep playing seven guys every night and expect to win. Like Peter said before, with Spoelstra in Miami, they're always pulling somebody out of thin air. Like, even if it's Achua or somebody, but if we're able to get past this round, you can't just keep going with seven guys. You're going to exhaust them at some point.
I agree with you, Blanderson, but who do you go to? You try Burks again?
I would say Precious Achiuwa more than anybody else. I mean, he's the one who's earned, I think, minutes. I mean, he showed when Mitchell Robinson was still out that he could give them something. I mean, guard-wise, I don't think there's anybody they could go to. Burks, I don't want any part of Alec Burks. I don't think any Knicks fan does. But playing seven guys realistically every night, it's just it's going to take a toll.
I would tend to agree with you, and I really do like Precious Achiuwa's game. But I believe that the way Tibbs coaches, the more he plays Achiuwa, the less he's going to play Mitchell Robinson. There's not like, I mean, he looks at him as a center. So it's not like Hartenstein and Robinson are going to play the minutes that they play, and then they're going to find minutes for Precious Achiuwa. I think you're going to force him into that center spot, which is going to take minutes away from other guys. So I think you need minutes from people that could give Josh Hart a blow, that could give Brunson a little bit of a blow. And, you know, Burks has been a zero. Burks has been an awful part of that trade. And Bogdanovich was just starting to show that he's going to help this team. Because he's a professional, he's a good three-point shooter. Burks can't hit the side of a barn. So I don't know if they could even risk it. I don't know if there's anybody down the bench that you go to.
But seven guys
is Achiuwa, right?
Seven guys, though, is a problem.
I know. Maybe. But they're not. I think from one to eight, when healthy, they're extremely deep. After that, they're not.
Well, Bogdanovich is gone.
Yep.
You know, Randall's not coming back. But Peter's right. I mean, Spoelstra would find somebody we never heard of, and all of a sudden he's hitting big shots. I mean, he's going to have show some faith in someone. Because if it wasn't about fatigue missing those foul shots down the stretch, and I have nothing to prove it, but the guys that missed the foul shots were the guys that were on the court the entire game. It's not going to get any better, Michael. And instead of getting a nice significant rest before round two, you might not get any rest. And then you got to hope you maybe make short work in the next round and try to go up against the Boston Celtics with as much rest as possible. It's going to catch up with you. These minutes are going to catch up. And we've said it all season long. The best part of the Knicks might be their biggest Achilles heel, and that is the fact they don't load management. They don't give guys rests. They don't use a lot of the deep part of the bench. They go in 7-8 rotation, and it works for them, and we love it. But is it going to be the thing that stops them? Is it going to be the whole reason why this team doesn't make as long a run as they can?
That's the thing. You immediately get so high on this team when they have a big win. And then when they have a loss like that, where Brunson ends up forcing and doesn't seem to have any help, you immediately sort of like change your expectations. Am I the only one? You go from, wait, a minute ago I was thinking about, could this team compete with the Celtics? To now I'm going, they can't compete with the Celtics. They don't have enough options. They just don't. I mean, Michael, when you're relying on one guy, it's hard when that guy is Nikola Jokic. It's hard when that guy is LeBron James, let alone a 6'1 Jalen Brunson. Like, it's just, in those moments, you immediately kind of come crashing back down to earth, and you sort of remember, oh, this team can be a great team when DiVincenzo and Hart are gunning. When they're having a night where Josh Hart's missing free throws and DiVincenzo's not hitting the three ball, they become a very single-dimensional team.
I will come back. We'll revisit the collapse in the last 28 seconds, break it down, hear from you as well. But first, Peter, we're going to listen to Don talk about BetMGM.
Well done. I like what you did there.
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs are here, and the New York Knicks are in. It is time to hit the court with BetMGM, an authorized betting partner of the NBA. Download the BetMGM app today and make every playoff game and every vital play mean more than ever. With the same game parlay, live betting options, player props, boosted odds specials, and the best daily promotions in the business. With the BetMGM app at your fingertips, you can experience the excitement of wagering on the NBA playoffs and get in on all the blue and orange action as your New York Knicks drive the lane. Find out why basketball fans love BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks. Download the app and take the king of sportsbooks with you wherever you go. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York and New Jersey only. Gambling problem in New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.